May he who makes peace in his high places make peace upon us and upon all Israel and say, Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derecha, ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua, Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation and Messiah Yeshua, and together we say, Amen. And I want you to keep this last word in mind, because there's more to it than just what you say. Everybody can be seated. What do you think I'm going to talk about today? Pardon me? No? Here is a clue. And we actually just sang it. So we're going to be talking about salvation, which, when we get there, so salvation belongs to our God. I'm going to be talking about a conversation that was on the rabbi's forum and a question that was asked. I'm going to share a little bit in a bit. But I want to get you at least to the point of understanding what is salvation, and ultimately, what does salvation mean? So just the general non-theological definition. Salvation is preservation or deliverance, ultimately from harm, from ruin, or from loss. Then the theological definition is deliverance from sin and its consequences, believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Messiah. So these are the definitions. And as was revealed earlier, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. Now, keeping in mind, Yeshua means to be saved from something, to be delivered, to aided, to have victory and prosperity, ultimately salvation from warfare. But keeping in mind, Yeshua is not the primary word. There is a root word, and that word is Yasha, Y-A-S-H-A. And the primary root, in essence, conveys to be open or wide, to be free, to be safe, to be avenging, to defend, to deliver, to persevere, to preserve, to rescue. Ultimately, this word, Yasha, conveys in essence what Yeshua is in many aspects. So taken from the definitions that I've given you, key words regarding Yeshua and its root Yasha, salvation, in essence, conveys deliverance, victory, prosperity, and welfare. I'm not going to go into each one of those. I mean, you can look those words up specifically. But I wanted to look and see where some of those places in Scripture where either Yeshua or Yasha were found, to give you an understanding, because I believe Scripture defines for us what salvation is. Yes, it's ultimately the last definition I gave you. Yes, we're in essence delivered from the penalty of sin, which is death. But there's so much more to understanding salvation than just the typical line that you're given about it. We find this word in two specific passages of Torah. First one is Exodus 15. Starting in verse 1, then Yeshua and the people of Israel sang this song to Adonai. I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he threw in the sea. Yah is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, I will glorify Him, my Father's God, I will exalt Him. Anybody remember what Exodus 15 is? It's the song of Moses. When did the song of Moses occur? After the Exodus, after crossing over the sea, or through the sea, I should say, and coming on the other side, never again seeing their enemy. The song of Moses conveyed after Adonai's defeat of Pharaoh and his army's pursuit of Israel. This occurred after the Exodus from Egypt by the hand of Adonai. He has, in essence, become their salvation. In other words, He's protecting them from from their oppressors. He is ultimately their deliverer because He provided deliverance. Steve, where did he go? Oh, is this on? It was? Okay, just making sure. I see it playing, so it should be on. And then the third thing. He is my salvation. He is Israel's salvation. He is Israel's deliverer. And ultimately, He provided Israel with a victory. All of these things are comprised in that one word. The second place in Torah that Yeshua is found, believe it or not, is the second song of Moses. Deuteronomy 32. Moses certainly had something to say. And he is saying it from a position of experience, from understanding, from one who truly saw the power behind God's salvation being poured out on His people. Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting in verse 1. Hear, O heavens, as I speak, listen, earth, to the words from my mouth. May my teaching fall like rain. May my speech condense like dew. Like light rain on blades of grass, or showers on growing plants. For I will proclaim the name of Adonai. Come, declare the greatness of our God. The rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are just. A trustworthy God who does no wrong. He is righteous and straight. In other words, speaking about His salvation. Moses, in essence, identifying who He is. But when we get to verse 15 of Deuteronomy 32, this is where it appears. But Yeshua, the righteous one, ultimately speaking of Israel, grew fat and kicked. He abandoned God, his maker. He scorned the rock, his salvation. A stark message that Israel would abandon its maker and scorned His salvation. To scorn means the feeling or belief that someone or something is worthless or despicable. To scorn God's salvation, they in essence made it appear to be worthless because of their action. Yet several chapters earlier in Deuteronomy, Adonai conveys the following promises should Israel remain steadfast and faithful to Him. Starting in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. If you listen closely to what Adonai your God says, observing and obeying all His mitzvot, which I am giving you today, Adonai your God will raise you high above all the nations on earth, and all the following blessings will be yours in abundance. If you will do what Adonai your God says, salvation, one of the things, and I didn't use this word specifically, but there is an abundance that comes with salvation, and the abundance comes from God. And these blessings are in essence that abundance that is attached to God's covenant, that's attached to His promise of providing or saving His people. Verse 3, a blessing on you in the city and a blessing on you in the countryside. A blessing on the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the fruit of your livestock, the young of your cattle and flocks. A blessing on your grain basket and kneading bowl. A blessing on you when you go out and a blessing on you when you come in. What does this sound like? What do these verses sound like? Which is a word that I mentioned earlier. Abundance. With salvation comes abundance. And no, this is not a name it, claim it message. Because it's going to get harder as we move forward. And I will cause you, verse 7. He will cause your enemies attacking you to be defeated before you. They will advance in one way and flee before you seven ways. Adonai will order a blessing to be with you in your barns and in everything you undertake. He will bless you in the land that Adonai your God is giving you. Adonai will establish you as a people, separated out for Himself as He has sworn to you, if you will observe the mitzvot Adonai your God is giving you and you follow His ways. What was one of those things mentioned in verse 7? Protection. He's providing you with protection. His protection. That is an offshoot of His salvation. Verse 10. Then all the people of the earth will see that Adonai's name, His presence, is with you, that they will be afraid of you. Ultimately, His name, His authority, is with you. That is part of His salvation. And then verses 13 and 14. Adonai will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be only above and never below, if you will listen to, observe, and obey the mitzvot of Adonai your God, and not turn away from any of the words, in or I am ordering you today, neither to the right nor to the left, to follow after other gods and serve them. So there is a covenantal promise, there is a relationship associated with God's salvation. But then keeping in mind all these things that were promised, get to verse 15. But if you refuse to pay attention to what Adonai your God says and do not observe and obey all His mitzvot and regulations, which I'm giving you today, then all the following curses will be yours in abundance. Keeping in mind, I'm not going to go through all of chapter 28, but keeping in mind, there is something associated with salvation. And there's more to it than what people truly understand. Salvation belongs to our God, true, but salvation is of the Jews. Not my opinion, but God's Word. John chapter 4, starting in verse 21. Yeshua said, "Lady, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Talking to the Samaritan woman. "You people don't know what you are worshiping. We worship what we do know, because salvation comes from the Jews." Salvation flows through the Jewish people. In other words, the Jewish people are supposed to be the light that in essence brings forth God's salvation to the world. "But the time is coming," verse 23, "indeed, it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father spiritually and truly. For these are the kind of people the Father wants worshiping Him." He wants someone sincere of heart. He wants someone devoted to Him. Basically, listening to what He says and observing what He says. Not doing it out of guilt. Not doing it out of what some people call works or working for their salvation, but out of faith, out of a desire to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who in essence brought forth Yeshua, Messiah, to be the path to God. The woman replied, verse 25, I know that Mashiach is coming. When he comes, he will tell us everything. And Yeshua said to her in verse 26, I, the person speaking to you, am he. So, salvation is ultimately a promise of a covenant, of God's covenants with Israel. The blessings are associated with being faithful and therefore obedience to the mitzvot of Adonai as a condition of the covenant that he promised to Israel at Sinai. Yeshua conveys in essence the same thing in John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. You will keep my mitzvot. So who better than Moses to talk about Adonai's salvation? We just read two places in Torah that Moses talks more about his salvation. That it's more than just being saved. That there's more to it. For he was a witness firsthand and was ultimately an extension of Adonai when he appeared to Pharaoh. Who shall I say that is sending me? He says he came in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, basically. Through Moses, Adonai performed many miracles that speak of Adonai's heart and his desire to save his people, whereby salvation truly and ultimately comes through him. There's others who can speak of Adonai's salvation, of God's salvation. How about David? David is another example of truly experiencing God's salvation, his protection, his abundance, and everything else that goes with it. Many of the Psalms written by David express David's understanding and Adonai's reality of what salvation looks like. We're not going to start in the Psalms, but we're going to start in an area that sounds like a Psalm. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Starting in verse 32, and we're going to go through two sections, highlighting the areas. Starting in verse 32. For who is God but Adonai? And who is the rock but our God? God is my strength and protection. He makes my way go straight. He makes me swift and sure-footed as a deer and enables me to stand on my high places. He trains my hands for war, until my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield, which is salvation. Your answers make me great. What does the shield represent? Protection. Salvation is God's protection. Adonai is alive, verse 47. Blessed is my rock, exalted be God, the rock of my salvation, the God who gives me vengeance and makes people submit to me. He brings me out from my enemies. You raise me over those who rebel against me. You rescue me from violent men. So I give thanks to you, Adonai. Among the nations, I sing praise to your name. He is a tower of salvation for his king. He displays grace to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Salvation, again, is a protection. But it, in essence, is part of a covenant that, as I mentioned earlier, because God is eternal, His covenants aren't really defined with an expiration date. When He says it, it is. But ultimately, it's us who are the problem. Yeshua, or Yeshua, are found 43 times in the Psalms alone. Let me just give you a sampling of a few. From Psalm 18, starting in verse 35. You give me your shield, which is salvation. Your right hand holds me up. Your humility makes me great. Verse 46. Adonai is alive. Blessed is my rock. Exalted be the God of my salvation. And verse 50. Great salvation He gives to His King. He displays grace to His anointed, to David and his descendants forever. This is in essence, it reiterates 2 Samuel 22. How about Psalm 27 and verse 1? Adonai is my light and salvation. Whom do I need to fear? Adonai is my stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Again, salvation offers protection. God, in essence, offers that protection when we call upon Him. Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for Adonai till He turned toward me and heard my cry. Then when we start in verse 10, keeping in mind I included verse 1 because I wanted you to get an idea of where David was starting off. I waited patiently for Adonai till He turned toward me and heard me cry. Verse 10, I did not hide your righteousness in my heart, but declared your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your grace and truth from the great assembly. Adonai, don't withhold your mercy from me. Let your grace and truth preserve me always. For numberless evils surround me. My iniquities engulf me. I can't even see. There are more of them than hairs on my head, so that my courage fails me. Be pleased, Adonai, to rescue me. Adonai, hurry and help me. May those who seek to sweep me away be disgraced and humiliated together. May those who take pleasure in doing me harm be turned back and put to confusion. May those who jeer at me, be against because of their shame. But may all those who seek you be glad and take joy in you. May those who love your salvation say always, Adonai is great and glorious. No matter what comes against us, as long as we are holding on to His promises, ultimately through the promise of salvation, He will be there with us. He will ultimately protect us. And then Yeshua, or Yasha, translated in a different way, in Psalm 98, verses 1 through 3, sing a new song to Adonai because He has done wonders. His right hand, His holy arm have won Him victory. Adonai has made known His victory, revealed His vindication in full view of the nations, remembered His grace and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. What word do you think is translated from Yesha? Victory. With salvation there is victory amongst adversaries, amongst the things of this world. So there's more to salvation than just being saved from your sins. There is power behind it. But the question is, are you truly invoking that power and authority? On the Rabbi's Forum this past week, the following question was posed, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I've got a couple of excerpts. And I don't believe it was a question that was asked because he didn't know the answer, but I believe it was a question that was asked because he wanted to start a discussion, something that doesn't always get talked about. So this is what was written. I'd be interested to know your thoughts on how salvation happens. Obviously, we all believe that mankind is in need of salvation and that salvation comes in some manner via the atonement of Messiah Yeshua. And we all want to see this happen, especially to our Jewish friends and Jewish people. Then he goes on, but how is a person saved? In other words, what, if anything, do you feel that a person must do in order to get salvation which Yeshua brought to the world? And then, in particular, there are many questions that seem to be debated on this. Does it involve a choice on our part, or is the whole matter strictly a work of God? Does it happen instantly, or does it involve a process over time? Now, I wasn't going to specifically answer all of these questions, but I will say this. Everybody's experience in terms of how you came to Messiah was different. Was it not? Some just, it's like, yeah, I believe, and they go forward. Others, like myself, okay, let's see the writing on the wall. Let's investigate this further. It's like, okay, I understand God, but from a Jewish perspective, who is this Yeshua person? So, is it all God? If it was all God, this building would be filled. But there's a part for us that we are responsible for. What did it say in the song, God makes the way, right? I will say this as well. God even opens our eyes. He made the way, He opened our eyes, and all that He's wanting us to do is what? See. He wants us to see. It's right before you. It's clear as day. You can touch it. You can feel it. I am right here. The example that I always give is Kepha. When Yeshua prompts him, who is it that people say that I am? And then he drills down, who is it that you say that I am? You are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Yeshua's response is, no one has shown this to you, but God has revealed this to you. God has opened your eyes. So God has done 2/3 of the work already. Yet He opens our eyes to where, what do we have to do? Well, repent is part of it. We have to believe. Now, keeping in mind, do you know what the Hebrew word is for believe?
silence.
The Hebrew word for believe is amen. You've been saying it all along, amen, I believe, I believe, I believe. Now, you've usually heard, well, amen means so be it. It's like, okay, yes, whatever he said, yes. Let's go a little further. Amen. To properly build up or support. To foster as a parent or to nurse. Think of it this way. When we come to believe, God is in essence nursing us. What does Shaul say? He says, well, to the Corinthians, you're not ready for the meat yet because you're still on the milk. He's nursing them. Firm. Amen. Firm. You firmly believe and faithful to trust. Here's another word. Amen means to be permanent. Assured. To bring up, to establish, to be faithful. All these things for amen. Yet you say it at the end of every prayer that we do. It's in songs that we sing. It is not just a question of, oh yeah, well I believe. No, there's action behind it because of the permanence of what you believe. The foundation of what you believe. Ultimately, another word that's used in the definition, to be steadfast. To be immovable, so to speak. To be unwavering. The last two are mine. I expanded on the steadfast part. And ultimately, to believe means to trust. I've given you plenty of examples just from the beginning, starting in Moses and David. Yet Yeshua had this interaction with a gentleman, Nicodemus. And in John chapter 3, starting in verse 7, stop being amazed at my telling you that you must be born again from above. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. That's how it is with everyone who has been born from the Spirit. Nicodemus replied, how can this be? Yeshua answered, you hold the office of teacher of Israel, and you don't know this? Yes, indeed, I tell you that what we speak about, we know, and what we give evidence of, we have seen, but you people don't accept our evidence. What is the our part? The our part is the witnesses from before, the witnesses provided, the Moses, the David, the Abrahams. Being born from above isn't anything new. But what is new is the empowerment that comes with it. The Ruach HaKodesh, being in essence becoming part of you. And then verses 12 and 13. If you people don't believe me, when I tell you about the things of the world, how will you believe me when I tell you about the things of heaven? If you're not going to believe the things that I'm telling you now that's going to happen, how are you going to believe the things that you can't even fathom just yet? No one has gone up into heaven. There is only one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses was the perfect individual to testify to God's salvation, just as David was the perfect individual to testify to God's salvation. Yeshua is the perfect individual to testify to God's salvation. It's not that Yeshua is providing his experiences as Moses or David did, but Yeshua is in essence providing the authority, the authorship, the origination of where salvation comes from and how it is applicable. The witnesses that came before Abraham, Moses, David, the prophets, and a prophet such as Isaiah. Everybody turn to Isaiah 12. And verse 1. On that day you will say, I thank you, Adonai, because although you were angry at me, your anger is now turned away, and you are comforting me. See, God is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yah, Adonai, is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Draw waters from the springs of salvation. What does this remind us of? Among other things. But what did Yeshua say? Who is He? He is the living water. And it is joyful. You are receiving joyfully from this spring of salvation. Verse 4. On that day you will say, give thanks to Adonai. Call on His name. Make His deeds known among the peoples. Declare how exalted is His name. Sing to Adonai, for He has triumphed. Victory. Another word for salvation. This is being made known throughout the earth. And verse 6. Shout and sing for joy, you who live in Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is with you in His greatness. What God revealed to Isaiah, and it is in essence the epitome of what salvation is. So how is a person truly saved? Ultimately through this word, believe. But let's look at it a little further. Let's see what Yeshua says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Yeshua came and talked with them. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmidim, immersing them into the reality of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you even until the end of the age. There's that command aspect. It's the same at Sinai. It's the same here. Yeshua is in essence conveying, I command, have them be obedient to my mitzvot. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Then Kepha, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being examined today about a good deed done for a disabled person, if you want to know how he was restored to health, then let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that it is the name of the Messiah Yeshua from Nazareth, whom you had executed on a stake as a criminal, but whom God has raised from the dead, that this man stands before you perfectly healed. This Yeshua is the stone rejected, the stone being what? The rock of our salvation. being rejected by the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And verse 12 is key. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind to whom we must be saved. So you have to believe, but then there have to be actions behind your belief. Our part is to trust that what Adonai has said and done is in fact true, and ultimately to present our lives before Him and the world as a statement. We have to be living examples of the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Got three more scriptures that I'm going to close with. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Keeping in mind there's only one chapter, so it's verse 3. Dear friends, I was busily at work writing to you about the salvation we share when I found it necessary to write, urging you to keep contending earnestly for the faith which was once and for all passed on to God's people. Once and for all. This salvation of the Jews is meant for the Jews, but is also to be transmitted to the world. It's an irrevocable promise to God's people. He brought forth His salvation. Keeping in mind, we stumbled. Then He restored us. He empowered us with a newer covenant, with greater powers and greater promises. And let me close with David from Psalm chapter 14. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They deal corruptly. Their deeds are vile. Not one does what is right. From heaven, Adonai observes humankind to see if anyone has understanding, if anyone seeks God. But all turn aside. All alike are corrupt. No one does what is right. Not a single one. Don't they ever learn? All those evildoers who eat up my people as if eating bread and never call on Adonai. There they are, utterly terrified for God with those who are righteous. You may mock the plans of the poor, but their refuge is Adonai. How I wish Israel would come. How I wish Israel's salvation would come out of Zion. When Adonai restores His people's fortunes, Yaakov will rejoice and Israel will be glad. Keeping in mind, salvation comes through Israel and the Jewish people. And all those who grab hold and are grafted in receive that promise as well. So I hope you have a better understanding not only of what salvation is, but also what it means to believe. Everybody will please rise. Adonai said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yayer Adonai panev lechihunecha, Yasei Adonai panev lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest His presence to you and give you peace. In this way they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. Lord, we thank You for this day, for this time. Lord, we ultimately thank You for revealing to us Your salvation. Ultimately coming through You, but our path being through Messiah, Yeshua, where no name has the authority by which salvation is offered, Lord. For in Him we have placed our trust, in Him we have placed our understanding, and in Him we take hold of His tzitzit and draw closer to You, Lord. Lord, may You be honored and may You be glorified today. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen. Chairs go around the table if there aren't there, and we will do Kiddush in about 5 minutes.